Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The circumstances of day-to-day living is becoming more challenging. As we face the many unknowns, fear can get a foothold, tackling our sound mind and leading us to destruction. But we have hope. His name is Jesus. He has overcome the world. And we who believe in Him can live as overcomers. In 1 Corinthians 5:57, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So join in the conversation as we look at how we too can overcome the world. As we talk about being overcomers today, Janie, I'm going to take us to 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So according to this scripture, we're all overcomers if we're believers in Jesus Christ. So what is there to learn about being an overcomer? Doesn't my faith in Jesus Christ give me that?
You know, that's a very good question that I have had more than one person ask just recently. So I think we can answer that in two parts, Sharon. Yes, we are all overcomers who have accepted the plan of Jesus Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection. We have escaped the condemnation of the world in being under the world, in the world, and under the bondage of Satan and his rule.
Okay.
So everyone that accepts Jesus Christ makes the choice to be an overcomer of being with Jesus Christ forever in heaven.
Okay.
Now, in Revelations 2 and 3, which many theologians say are the two most important chapters in Revelations, the focus on chapters 2 and 3, which is God's final letter through Jesus Christ, written by the Apostle John, telling us the last things the Lord wanted to know before he went on to prepare a place for us. And what he stresses in his letters to each of the seven churches is how to be an overcomer.
Okay.
So he points out their good points, where they're lacking, what they need to do, and the results or the consequences and the blessings are those things that are available to the person who overcomes. So we can establish that, yes, in one area of being out of condemnation from eternal separation, that's a done deal. And everyone who chooses to be a child of God in the family of God has overcome.
Okay, so
they've overcome the death that is associated with this world.
Okay.
Now, if you go back to your chapter that you mentioned in 1 John 5, there are conditions that accompany this overcomer. And sometimes we do not see that there are conditions that must be observing for the verse that you read to be effectual.
So we just read 5:5 and we skip the rest of them, so we don't get the fullness of what the Lord is telling us here.
And Sharon, that's one of the things that we're all guilty of, and it's one of the interpretations of Scripture. We always have to look at the content and the context, the setting of when it was written. So let's just look here to see what are the conditions. Well, in 5:1, it says, whoever believes, and that is not a intellectual belief. That belief requires head and heart to be actively believing and practicing. It's just not an intellectual, so there's a condition. And then we know that there is love, because everyone who loves him begot also loves him who is begotten by him. And that's a complex statement. It's simply just saying, are we loving? That's not loving with, oh, it feels so good to know that I'm not going to hell, but I'm going to go ahead and live my life the way I want to, but I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But that's not love, and that's not true belief.
Okay.
That's a substitute that we can do, saying the right words, but having the wrong foundation.
So that's just head knowledge, not heart knowledge.
Well, it can be.
Okay.
I'm just saying these are the possible conditions that go with what we take for granted, that everybody's already an overcomer. And
okay.
Why are you making such a big deal out of this?
Right.
All
okay.
Right? Then it says, after we've talked about a true belief and we've talked about true love, then we talk about keeping his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, that's a bucket full of opportunities.
Right.
And it's not that we're under law, that if we are going to go to hell if we don't keep his commandments. That's not
right.
It. But true love with a true belief will want to keep the commandments.
Well, it says his commandments are not burdensome. So it's not
it's a duty. It's a joy.
Yeah.
It's a joy. All right. And then it says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith.
Okay.
Well, my faith, apart from having an object, is really just a five-letter word.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
I can trust, but there's no guarantee that what I think, apart from what Jesus Christ is going to produce the changed life.
Right.
But knowing Jesus Christ as the object of my faith, then my faith is really reliant upon him.
Right.
And his faith that he has given to me, which he says is a gift that he has given.
Okay. So our faith has nothing to do with how much we believe. It has to do with who we believe.
It is having a dependent spirit on the Son of God, not an independent spirit of trusting in ourselves with our faith to make it real.
Apart from him.
Apart from him. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, perfect.
And then there's just one other condition that I see here initially, and it's in verse 13, and it says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. There are people who do not see Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Oh.
They don't know the difference between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Their doctrine is simply not stabilized. It's three in one. The Holy Spirit has a particular role. Jesus Christ has a particular role, being the one who was chosen to make himself known in the flesh, in what, the skin you can pinch, in a body, for the purpose of letting us know who God the Father is, who is spirit, and we must worship him in truth and spirit. So for us just to take one verse out of the content and the context can cause us to be very presumptuous on something that we think we may know in fullness or its entirety. And if so, Sharon, I would be really perplexed to know why Revelations 2 and 3 puts such a priority on how to be an overcomer.
Well, let me ask this then. What is the definition of an overcomer?
Let's just be consistent in what we have said in the past. Anyone or someone who faces all the challenges in their life with one attitude, one purpose, one goal, and that is God will be faithful no matter what.
Okay.
That is the mindset of an overcomer.
So no matter what they go through, what challenges they face, what difficulties, what persecution, what wrongs they encounter, that they always take it back to God and say, God, I know you're faithful.
And that, Father, you have a solution for everything that can be encountered in this world. And then we are very sobered when it says that he has overcome the world, because you realize that because of the sin in the Garden of Eden, Satan is the god of this world.
Right.
And we still have to battle the struggles associated with that. And that's why overcoming becomes such a marvelous position to know and understand.
Well, and if we look at it intellectually, then Jesus says he overcame the world, but then he was crucified. So if you look at it intellectually, it's all upside down.
Well, it is, and you have to go to your logic and your reason. Mm-hmm. And I think we lack a little in that area when we talk about the mind of God.
Right.
And then I'm going to throw something at you that I don't expect you to understand, because neither do I. But God has been present forever in the past, currently present, and will always be present in the future. So he has no problem working out things that we sit here and stew around with trying to understand them intellectually.
Right.
And that's why we walk by faith.
Right. And if we're not walking by faith, then we're doing it in our own strength. We're trying to figure things out in our own logic and reason, and it doesn't really work that way.
And you just gave a definition of the word fear.
Oh.
There's only two ways you can walk, Sharon. You either walk in by faith or you're walking by fear.
That's right.
And they're both moving in the same timeline. They're both moving forward.
Oh, but if you're walking in fear, you're probably letting your soul dominate.
Oh, yes. And,
if you're walking by faith, then you're walking in the Spirit. You're letting the Spirit dominate your life.
You're getting it. You're getting it. Now, we've got to remember that our soul is a beautiful gift from the Lord. But how many times do we misuse the gifts that he has given us? So if we choose to do what feels good, we think's good, emotionally satisfied, then we have slipped from allowing the Spirit to have dominance to allowing the soul to substitute the work of the Spirit. And I'm telling you what, the enemy knows how to deceive our soul.
He will even use the good of our hearts to deceive us.
And he'll use the truth of the scriptures.
Oh, that's true.
That's his greatest tool, is to misrepresent the truth in the scriptures.
Right.
And we are not schooled enough to recognize the nuances when he sends us a twist. I know a few weeks ago we were talking about how to grow in grace and knowledge on one of our broadcasts. And we talked about how easy it was to gain knowledge.
Oh, yes.
And how difficult it was to know how to grow in grace.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to do some defining there.
Yeah.
Well, likewise, Romans 7 gives us a really good example on why we struggle in coming to a point of being able to be an effectual overcomer. And that chapter requires really a lot of lessons in itself. But I'm going to just read a couple of verses that give some enlightenment, Sharon. And it says in Romans 7, verse 15, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand." I think that's a prophetic statement.
That sounds like my life.
Ditto.
Sorry.
"For what I will to do, that I don't practice. But what I hate, that I do."
Janie, that is such a confusing message.
Well,
we got to break that down.
We do. So what it basically says is, I'm trying, there's that word again, to do what you want me to do, to find the accomplishment that you want me to accomplish, God, and I'm not doing it. Because when I want to do what you want me to do, I don't do it.
I fail.
And that's because if we're trying to do it in our own natural strength, we have to fail. Otherwise, why did we need Jesus Christ and the cross?
Right.
And we have to realize that when we are miserable because of what we're practicing, sin is dwelling in us.
Okay.
And we have a choice if we want to yield to sin, because Jesus Christ has freed us from being under the bondage of sin.
Right.
That's what the cross is about.
Right.
The cross needs to be implemented in every day of our lives. Now, Sharon, it would be foolish for me to try to die the death of Christ's cross. But he has said, that's the example, that's the fact, so now you can take up your cross, deny yourself, deny yourself and all those fleshly goodies.
Yeah.
Come after me and follow me. And that's how we then display how we are willing to take up the fellowship of his sufferings.
And be an overcomer.
And be an overcomer. Walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is the fulfillment of love, which he has commanded to all overcomers. And by the way, we are all commanded to be overcomers according to the Lord Jesus's mind, not according to our own mental or emotional logic and reasoning.
So it's really important that we understand not only the definition of being an overcomer, but how to apply those steps, for lack of better words, to our life. And we could look at the life of Caleb as an example of an overcomer. Because a lot of times, you know, it helps to have an example to follow.
Caleb is a really good example. And you know what? In Numbers 14, there is so much insight about Caleb. And the one thing that really separates him from the pack is in chapter 14, verse 24. And it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it."
Mm.
Now, there's two, if you want to say, conditions or qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb had a different spirit, and that different spirit was exemplified in that he followed God Almighty fully. He didn't pick and choose. He didn't, sometimes I'm off, sometimes I'm on, I'm in and out. He was committed.
Okay.
A whole heart.
Full surrender.
Full surrender. And that is a first requirement for an overcomer. We just said someone who faces everything in life with one conviction, heart, attitude, and that is that God will be faithful no matter what.
Okay.
We can also add to the overcomer that by faith, the overcomer believes that God is powerful enough for anything that can assault us here in this world.
Any situation.
Any situation.
Okay.
But the word, there's one word here, Sharon, that I don't understand it, but I sense that we must search it out, and that is the word fully or fullness. God in his fullness. Just science is telling us that we're finding that there are universes and stars that could take thousands of years for their light to get to planet Earth, traveling at the rate of the speed of light. Thousands of years. And they may have already died off, but we're still seeing the lingering light that is still traveling to get to planet Earth. I can't wrap myself around that science, but it's all encompassed in one word, the fullness of God.
Mm.
And that's how the overcomer must always be reaching and be willing to be stretched.
Oh, yeah.
To come into things that I don't understand,
mm-hmm.
but I still choose to believe.
Right.
So let me give you an interesting fact about Caleb. Do you know what his name means?
No.
It means dog.
Nuh-uh.
Well, that's what my references told
me. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Now, you would think, how would a righteous man, fully surrendered, wholly dedicated, be named providentially dog?
Right.
Unless you're looking at one of the qualities of a dog. dog has been known as man's best friend.
Loyal. They're loyal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're committed.
Faithful.
And they are single focused when they're in your presence.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the word dog takes on a new meaning.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is an example of, like, so many words in the Scripture take on new meaning when we'll dig into the Scriptures a little bit to get to know.
And, you know, Janie, I had a dog a few years ago, and he was the best. And one of the characteristics that he had was that he was so hungry and willing to please. He just wanted to please Terry and I. So I see that in Caleb as we talk about him being fully following the Lord, is that he had a hunger to be pleasing in the Lord's sight and to walk in all of his ways.
And Sharon, the greatest thing probably about Caleb is that he had an humble heart. He knew that he was nothing without God, and winning these battles was not due to his strength, his intellect, his military genius, or even his years of experience. He just relied on God's intervention and grace and fully followed God.
Well, we could also say that Caleb was faithful because when they went in to spy out the land, he and Joshua were the only ones that came back and said, hey, we can take on these giants. But the other 10 spies were fearful and said, no way.
And you know what? They threatened to kill Caleb. He had hard words. And they didn't believe the truth because they were walking by sight and not by faith.
Wow.
Now, he stood, Sharon, for what was right. He stood against the odds. And what was his great reward? He got to walk with these unbelieving Israelites for
40 years.
Every day the spies were in the land spying out, the Lord charged against them 1 year per day that they were in gathering false information. It had true facts. They were giant people. They saw the milk and honey, but they walked by sight, by logic, by their feelings, and by their fears, and faith was absent.
So we have to know that being an overcomer can cause people to rise up against us. We may have to stand alone. We will probably face opposition. But just as Caleb was able to overcome and be an example to us as an overcomer, we can be an example to others.
And I think if we could hear Caleb give us a scriptural exhortation today, he would be in a line with a psalmist that said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And for a fixed heart, it means steadfast, firm, unwavering.
So that just takes us right back to 1 Corinthians 15:58.
I think we've circled today, haven't we?
Well, let me read that. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So with this verse in mind, we can stand as overcomers, fully surrendered, totally devoted, fully trusting the Lord in every situation, no matter what we see. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHart's.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.